Hi, this is John Williams. Thank you again for finding the Mincing Rascals. And if this is your first download of our little podcast, welcome. If you like what you hear, all we ask is for a good review and that you tell your friends. And if you don't like what you hear, tell us. I'm John Williams at WGNRadio.com. This week, the Rascals wonder if the Springfield bishops publicly denying communion to some high-profile legislators is a good idea. And is it a good idea to ticket and fine adults who smoke in cars with minors present? A Kane County man is going to jail for 4 years for something that is about to become legal. And did you hear about the change coming to your driver's license? Plus a quick weekend tour of Trump land, all minced up this week by your rascals. Today is Friday. It's June 7th, 2019. It's 11:13 in the morning. And hi, this is John Williams. And we're the Mincing Rascals, a weekly podcast we record at the studios of WGN Radio in Chicago. Tune me in weekdays from 1 to 3.
I'm Steve Bertrand, host of The Business Lunch on WGN, with a great recommendation coming up for later in the show.
I'm Scott Standis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, creator of the comic strip Prickly City, and co-host of the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN Plus.
Hi, this is Patty Vasquez. I host Monday through Friday, 10 till 1 a.m., unless there's a sporting event.
I'm Eric Zorn, the nasty, vindictive, horrible, yet somehow lovable columnist from the Chicago Tribune.
Finally, some honesty on this podcast.
I thought that was Rex.
I want to say thanks to everybody for tuning into the podcast, and thanks to you guys for each week doing this, volunteering your time, and making this the interesting, I think, podcast that it is. We want to invite you, as you listen to this, give it a good rating and recommend it to your friends. All right, you guys ready? Let's start with the Catholic bishop in Springfield, who we never talk about. His name is Thomas Paprocki. He's publicly denied communion to any state lawmaker that voted for the state's more liberal abortion law, particularly Illinois House Speaker John Madigan and the Senate President John Cullerton. Michael Madigan, right?
Mike Madigan.
He said that they are, quote, not to be admitted to Holy Communion in the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois because they have obstinately persisted in promoting the abominable crime and very grave sin of abortion. I understand that that's a sin in the Catholic Church, and I understand as a faith leader the bishops need to be resolute about that, but I don't think it sounds good. I'm not sure if it's good church policy to weaponize the Holy Communion, and that's exactly what he's doing here. I'm not close to the Catholic Church, although I was raised a Catholic and went to Catholic grade school for a few years, but I'm disappointed in the words of the bishop in Springfield. Where are you on this, Scott?
Well, I am a practicing Catholic, and I'm disappointed as well. It also, using the Eucharist as a weapon is, in my mind, horrific. It, you know, they used it against Joan of Arc, you know, and to torture her, and denying a Catholic that right, or not right, but that the sacrament.
And isn't the deal that don't Catholics believe that if you go to confession, your sins are forgiven, that you can receive the Holy Eucharist? If you are, in fact, truly repentant in your heart, then you're able to receive the sacrament.
But there's no indication that either of these men are repentant about supporting this law.
Well, right? I think that's not for us to know or decide.
No, it is. And I think that's the headline of this story. Mike Madigan said no.
He said it's worth it, didn't he?
He said, this guy warned me, he threatened me, I considered it, and I still thought it was right to protect the rape and incest victims, so I took the vote. He stood up to the bishop, and he's not repentant.
And he's also reflecting the desires of his constituents. Many of the legislators were elected based on what they said they would do in Springfield.
There's two callings here, right? One to your God and faith, and one to your constituents. And you all can argue amongst yourselves which should come first. But you're right, Patty. He has an obligation to the people in Illinois and that he represents to do their bidding. This is a republic. He's their representative.
So then do we also withhold communion to those who elected Michael Madigan, Cullerton, or all the other legislators that voted in support of this?
I'd like to know if this bishop refuses or has refused communion to people who supported the death penalty.
Correct.
Or any other crime or any other sin against the Catholic Church.
That's a very good question.
This selective holiness just pisses me off.
Likewise, and I've been upset with the Catholic Church for a long time about a number of things, but I'm not a Catholic, so I just sort of stay on the sidelines. But this business where they have been criticizing people who support Pride Month and gay pride and distancing themselves from that in a very strong way, I really wish that this church-state line was not so easily bruised.
Well, that's not germane.
Cardinal Supich has language, right? You know better than me. Very careful language where he does handle it, I think, in a in a I was going to say professional way.
We had a listener last night call and
say
that...
Well, not vindictive way.
Well, but in a constructive way, too. Right. What is
well,
it
that's
that
what it
says?
Is. Right. He said that the Eucharist should be used to invite people into the Lord's house, stuff like that. But he saw it as an invitation and as a sacrament to be shared. He didn't see it as something to be held out exclusively.
Right, and to threaten somebody with. And we had a listener last night call who said he used to work for the Catholic Church, and when he came out and said he was going to marry his partner, he was thrown out of the church.
On the other hand, though, I mean, I'm not down with anything that what they do like this, but if you have a faith tradition and it stands for something, if you're just, what do they call them, cafeteria Catholics, where you say, I'll use birth control.
A.K.A. Americans.
Right.
Premarital sex. Yeah. So are you going to ban people?
If your organization, your religion, whatever, stands for something, and you've got people who stand for something completely different from that, you can say, hey, you know, you're really not one of us anymore. Isn't that what,
but it's
essentially what Paprocki is
saying?
But
it's selective.
You can do that.
I know music directors at Catholic schools who've lost their job because they're gay.
Yeah, right.
And when the administration found out about their wedding, they fired them.
There was a teacher at St. Ignatius who the students found out, and they were the ones that started publishing all these things about him and got him fired there.
I can understand. I mean, religion does get to set its rules and enforce its rules, and I can understand that if you are a religion that doesn't recognize gay marriage, even though I certainly disagree with that, that it's in keeping with that that you would not employ people who are in a gay marriage. I understand that, and I don't know exactly where the line is for me, but when you, the term has been used, weaponized, but you know, I think this guy's just getting publicity for himself and for his cause, and
well done.
And I just, it just
well done,
makes
you think
me stronger.
Yeah.
No, well done as far as getting attention. I didn't know who he was.
I guess
until,
so, but well, he's done it before. Name. This guy's, he's done it before.
Durbin,
I mean, as far as getting attention.
Durbin cannot receive communion from him either for the same reason.
You know, if he's going to not give communion to everyone who's not in good standing with the Catholic Church, he's going to be speaking to an empty church.
Right.
And more and more, that's what Catholic priests are doing.
This is what I got from a text last night. U.S. Catholic bishops are going to break my loving and beautiful church with their hypocrisy and small-minded bigotry against women and LGBT faithful.
How do you reconcile saying you've got this loving? You say you've got this loving church, and yet it's doing all these things that are not that. I mean,
knowing the texter very well because it was my husband. he grew up in a parish that he just absolutely adores. It was St. Athanasius A's in Evanston.
Yeah.
And that's the way he grew up. And his parents were both pro-abortion, pro-choice at least, pro-choice Catholics who were welcoming to the LGBT community. So he didn't necessarily know this church the way he has now grown to know it as an adult. And he and my son selectively choose which sermons they'll see because of the way the priest delivers his message.
Well, Eric's on to something, though. I mean, your faith is your faith. If that's your belief system,
because
then
my husband and my son study the Bible, and they don't find anything that the Catholic Church has a leg to stand on when it comes to abortion or gay marriage.
I think, well, Patty, the Catholic Church has its rules. I mean,
right.
I don't know what we're arguing about here. That's the belief system of the Catholic Church.
Again, I'm not Catholic. I was raised Mormon and confirmed Lutheran and married in the Catholic Church, so I just kind of dabble. I'm covering all my bases.
You are a cafeteria.
Wow. You're like the Golden State Warriors. You've got a ring for every finger.
I do.
So Eric brings up church and state, and I said, I don't think that's relevant, Eric. That's an imposition on the state. That's not an imposition on the church.
Well, it's an effort by the church. You're right, but it's an effort by the church to influence state policy by withholding communion to these
Yeah, but I just don't know that it works both ways. I think we all agree that the state should not impose religious views on the people. But if the church wants to say, hey, we're going to punish the state for not doing things that are in accordance with our beliefs, I think the church is well within its right to do
that. And they can pay up on
their taxes then, too. They have every right to do that. You're correct. But I think that when you blur that line, then you set a problem for both institutions. I feel that they should just, you know, these should be separate issues. And again, you know, I feel like I'm telling the Elks Club what kind of rules they should have. This is not part of my thing here. Like, if they want to have people stand on one foot and hop up and down and recite the alphabet backwards, that's fine with me.
You're not in the Elks either?
I'm not in the Elks or the Kiwanis, but I feel like these are sort of private organizations, and if they stay private, I actually don't care if they deny Cullerton and Madigan communion. I care though if Cullerton and Madigan and anybody else changes their vote because of what the bishop says.
I understand that, but I think if you go through the lens of, did this bishop further Catholicism in this country, or did he do damage to it? I think with this very public move, he did damage to it.
Well,
it
seems
he did not enrich his church.
It seems very medieval and vindictive and contrary to the point that Eric brought up earlier of a loving Christ-like church. So all those things. Yeah, I mean, as a Catholic, I find this deeply disturbing.
Well, I'm going to interview him this afternoon, Scott. What should I ask him?
What the hell's
he's
wrong with
you?
He's
going to be on
you?
Our show.
Ask him. Seriously,
he's coming on.
You should ask him.
Welcome,
about the
Bishop. What the hell's the matter with you?
Hold on. I'm right. I thought Bertrand's point about the death penalty is an excellent one. There are a number of...
Who else has he denied
communion
to?
There are a number of Republican lawmakers who supported the death penalty, who fought against Governor Quinn's effort when he abolished the death penalty. Has he refused to give communion to those people?
And perfectly fine with withholding funding for vital services for those who needed it the most throughout the state of Illinois. I mean, people died during the budget crisis because there were people that wouldn't move on budgets.
Taking the Lord's name in vain. I mean, it's a long list.
I'm sure he's going to prioritize them. And at some point he's going to say these are venal sins and those are super bad sins.
What are the bad ones?
Mortal sins. I've been away for a while.
You do run a risk when you have some sort of an organization or a religion like that, when you basically are practicing subtraction, saying, you know, you don't meet our standards. And that's fine. You can go ahead and do that. But I think Bertrand points out correctly that shrinks your audience. You know, you become smaller and smaller as you do that.
Yeah.
And that is happening to the Catholic Church, right?
But you do. It is. But you do also have to adhere to your moral standards if you're a church or even a person. And
so what should he have done then? Okay, so it bothers him that this is against the faith of the Catholic Church. It's his state. He's a faith leader. So what should he have done?
Nothing. What does Cardinal Zubich do?
He could have expressed his disappointment in it, you know.
Sure.
To be fair, he said he will also deny to any of the lawmakers that voted for it. I don't know if he's got a tally sheet. He specifically called
most
out...
Most wanted bulletin board on the way in.
He specifically called out the Speaker and the Senate President, but he also said, the rest of y'all, you're on my poop list, too.
And those guys don't live in Springfield. Remember, they work down there, but they...
Not to mention, it's largely ceremonial, isn't it? A medical marijuana story is in the news, too, guys. Montgomery's Thomas Franzen in Kane County has stage 4 cancer. He has a lot of pain. He bought 42 pounds of THC-laced chocolates from a California dispensary. He's pleaded guilty to having this much and bringing it across state lines. He could have gone to jail for 12 years. The judge has sentenced him to 4. He may spend a little less than 2. There's another part to this story, but let's start with this. What do you make of the state jailing this guy for a couple of years because he's using THC-laced chocolates to ease his pain, Patty?
Was it 42 pounds? That would also be illegal.
Of chocolate.
Right, but that would also be, I'm not sure how many grams are in there, but I'm guessing that would also be illegal even under the expanded medical marijuana legislation.
It was in excess of 5,000 grams.
Yeah. So I think, isn't it like 30 grams?
So should we jail this dude?
Well, it's still, I mean, everyone always talks about how it's breaking the law. I mean, yes, if you can give somebody a compassionate break, that would make sense. People always talk about how when someone broke the law before it became legal, they shouldn't have their record expunged. I think that, I'm hoping that there's some more leniency.
But part of the marijuana law that's going to take effect here in Illinois, it actually expunges, and it's some enormous.
It does.
Was it 800,000?
Off the records, yeah.
Yeah, records are going to be expunged of this. So why not just.
It costs about $30,000 to put somebody in jail.
There's something to this story, though, because even the defense attorney praised prosecutors for dropping some of the charges and then was very conciliatory to the judge after the sentencing yesterday in a way. Do you have the quote, John? You look like you have the quote.
Well, here's what I have, part two of the story. This is why this man's attorney said thank you to the judge. The Kane County State's attorney said he intended to distribute some of the chocolate.
That's the problem. Another problem.
Oh, he had some cash. Oh, he had a little bit of cocaine.
Different.
He had a scale. And so he was using it. And then also he had his own little mail order business in the basement.
And he had priors, too.
Stuff. And he had some priors for possession.
And now you know the rest of
the
story.
See, that is exactly. we were talking about the story yesterday, sort of in real time, John was. And he kept asking me questions, and I kept trying to find reporting on it. And it just... It didn't add up. I didn't have those pieces of information.
I know. I looked at this story online, various versions of it, and many of them they elided over, passed over this extremely key paragraph, which says, as John just said, officers later searched his home, found cocaine, over 100 additional grams of marijuana, and a lot of other drug dealing paraphernalia, and cash ledgers tracking drug sales. This guy's a drug dealer. This story is, and it's odd that it was it has been billed as a medical marijuana story. Because when you first read it, you think this poor suffering guy has got ordered some medical marijuana to ease his pain, and they're putting him in prison for 4 years. That's not right. But you read this, and you realize this guy was just a drug dealer, and maybe he was using
with a good
some
heart. A drug dealer with a good heart,
heart of gold.
No, but I mean, but that's the third iteration of this. Maybe he's a drug dealer who was doing what he needed himself.
He could have been a both and. Yes, you're right.
He was trying to get other people THC laced chocolate who similarly had pain, who similarly couldn't get it unless they went to California or wherever.
Yeah. I'm bummed about the reporting on it too, because I, you know, was limited in what I knew.
The reporting was good. The reporting was good. This was in the AP story. It just
wasn't in the early AP.
No, it was not. Well, the editors that we were reading were cutting that out.
We get different versions of the. You get the trunk wire. We don't get as much of the copy, I bet.
So anyway, but anyway, I mean, this story. When I first read it, I was like, man, they're taking this suffering guy and putting him in prison. This is awful. And then you read the more of it, and you go.
I can see that.
Let me ask you about a couple of other laws. In Illinois, it's going to be illegal to smoke in a car if a minor is present.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
I am so not. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of laws that are good ideas, but they shouldn't be laws. This is one of them.
My father was a four-pack day smoker, non-filtered Camels. I did not know what the world smelled like until I was 18 years old and left the house. Riding in the car with the windows rolled up in our house. I mean, and I had a lot of respiratory problems growing up. So, yes, I am in support.
Here.
Yeah, I'm in support.
Now, when you're a king, John, when this happens, wouldn't you make parents who smoked in a car with their kids like stand in front of the car and get run over? I mean, it's a terrible thing to do.
Wait a minute.
So it is child abuse.
Not smoke in their own house?
They shouldn't. But I.
That's what he's saying.
My mom waited until I left for college.
But a car is a much more enclosed space.
Contained.
There's a difference between a shouldn't and a cannot.
Okay. Well, I would say in this case that cannot is in an enclosed space like a car. Is defensible.
This feels really nanny statey to me, and makes my skin crawl.
Liberals, we like to do that stuff.
I know.
I'm a little like to tell you how to behave.
Well, all right. So let me ask you this:
Let me just stop it. Isn't this child abuse? I mean, you are subjecting your kid to heavy doses.
No, it is not.
Of
no,
smoke.
I mean,
it's that
not.
Is an insult to people who have
toxic.
Been abused.
It's toxic.
It is toxic.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good. I mean, I grew up in a house with a smoker, too. I was in that car.
So abusive only counts if you're struck? Or I mean, exposing a child to toxic fumes, I think, is abusive.
Well,
I understand. I'm not saying it's great.
It's legal to smoke a cigarette in your house or your car.
I understand that, and I appreciate that.
You can do that legally, just like you can eat pork rinds. Then they're not good for you. So if you feed your kids pork rinds, is that abusive too?
We wear seatbelts. It's the things that happen on the road.
Right. We get to decide what the state's going to impose in the name of minor safety. Seatbelts we do. I don't think cigarettes with windows up or down we should. But let me ask you guys this. What do you think is more detrimental to this child that the state's going to raise now? That the parents smoke in that car, or that the parents take that kid to McDonald's three times a week? What's harder on the kid's future?
Well, you're not trapping a child in the
you're
restaurant.
Feeding that kid McDonald's, French fries, Cokes, and hamburgers three times a week.
And you're training that kid to eat that way for the rest of his life.
Kid's probably going to have weight problems, maybe diabetes, won't be very physically
fit. He's going to be too fat to get out of the smoker's room.
Sodium in those things? Oh, my God.
You want me to run that flag up the pole at the Springfield to see what my friends think?
I'm asking you, what do you think is more deleterious to a child's health?
I think that having grown up in a car with the windows pretty much rolled up and the cigarette smoke was harder on me. And I ate at McDonald's and probably ate food that my parents, having looked back, wish they hadn't. I would say the cigarette smoke was more toxic to my health.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I guess that's your...
And it's clearly a continuum, right? Between the seat... I think all of us at the table here would say that the seatbelt law is a good one. You got to have your kids belted in. And most of... I don't know what the split is on the... I think Patty and I are in the no smoke in the cars thing. Man, maybe the law is not going to be strictly enforced, but you have the law out there. People will think twice, three times about this. Maybe they'll roll their windows down.
Well, the kids can say, Daddy, it's against the law.
It's a law.
They will not pull you over for this.
And that kid tries hiding her dead cigarettes.
They will not. It's not a moving violation.
You ever try to hide your dead cigarettes? That's scary stuff. Yeah.
Daddy,
you're going to die of lung cancer. Ah.
I remember the scene where I took a carton of cigarettes that my mom and dad had just bought at the grocery store. Mom smoked, Dad did. And I threw them out into the woods and then came home and happily reported to them the good deed I had done. Man, the expression on their face to this day is on my mind. It was such a conundrum for them. You know? They knew my heart was good, and they knew I had done good. They were pretty ticked that I had just tossed an expensive carton into the woods. I don't know if Dad went out and found him for Mom. I bet he didn't. But they didn't reprimand me, nor did they pat me on the back. It was a weird conversation.
You didn't talk to him for 2 years. But that's
right. Did she ever quit?
No, she did not. She did, but she didn't. How about this? Pot, sports betting, and more casinos are coming to our city and state. Should a casino, did you guys do this one last week? Should we put a casino on the south or west side?
I don't. We did touch on this last week, and I spoke out strongly for the Michael Reese site. I think that's the only site that makes any sense.
Now, where's that?
That's just south of McCormick Place, along Lakeshore Drive, about 31st Street and Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, we brought this up in the editorial board meeting yesterday, and just talking about having one on the south side makes zero sense.
Yeah, thank you. Like that,
you mean far south side?
Yeah, far south side.
Well, I think the idea is that we'll put the jobs and this economic engine in the areas that have been deprived, but those are just money sucks, ultimately.
No one would go to those.
They should. That's also a good point, except maybe people who shouldn't be going in there.
Or they would go, and they wouldn't. I mean, it's not like you're going to put a casino in Englewood and then restaurants are going to flower around it. I mean, I think that the issue is who's going to get the jobs in these casinos. If you put it at the Michael Reese site, you can employ people in these poor neighborhoods. But to put it in a poor neighborhood, I don't think enhances economic development. It might actually make those people be more attractive to people who can't afford to gamble.
Oh, absolutely. Right. It'll be easier for the state to take money out of their pockets. I say put it in Winnetka and dedicate the funds to Englewood. Put it in the near north side. Mm. Put it over here by River North. I mean, find a place where there is money that people can afford to lose it, because that's what a casino does. It's a money suck.
Well, that's why Michael Reese makes sense to me. It's near the convention center.
I thought Northerly Island made sense to me, too, where the Hamilton exhibit is currently.
Yeah.
Northerly Island's kind of a nice place. I don't know if I want to junk it up at the casino.
That's kind of O'Hare. You know, we should sure make it easy for people flying through our city to just leave some money here.
You already have the Des Plaines Casino right there, isn't it? Three Rivers?
Rivers
Casino?
Yeah. And also included in this bill that outlaws smoking in cars are measures to make the minimum salary for public school teachers $40,000. It's currently $32,700. It'll step up over the next several years. I'm okay with that. Yeah. Are we all on board?
A lot of rural areas are concerned because their cost of living isn't as high, and they don't have the resources when it comes to paying teachers that much. Taxes. Yeah.
But,
really? Yeah.
$40,000 is a lot.
Well, I mean, their cost of living is different in different parts of the state. It's lower.
It hasn't been increased in a long, long time, right?
I support it. I'm just saying what I heard in Springfield when it came to other parts of the state.
Really? But you would think, because my guess is that Central and Southern Illinois' standard of educational achievement is not as high as it could be. If you think better teachers would help that, then you think you would embrace this.
Right. Plus, you have people who want to leave their towns and go to bigger cities or different states.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a reason to retain them.
I sympathize with these towns that don't have the resources, and the state doesn't pay its share of education funding.
Right.
And so what's going to have to happen is property taxes are going to go up, and people are already just completely out of their minds about how high property taxes are, which I understand. We have some of the highest property taxes in the country. But the reason we do is the state doesn't fund education.
But doesn't the new budget allocate more money for state education funding?
I believe it does
allocate through college,
some, yeah.
But not enough. You know, when they passed the bill to legalize medical or recreational marijuana, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but they showed the final votes being cast and the announcement that it had passed the House. And those legislators were high-fiving and cheering and double-clutching like they won the big game. And I was a little put off by that, because this is not a slam dunk that it's going to be good. I've been an advocate for it forever, and the closer we got to it, the more difficult
I got. Be careful what you wish for.
I know, and so if I was a voter and I would have voted for that on the floor, I would have been like, all right, okay.
I would say that the emotions, at least from my point of view and what I saw in the Blue Room where they do the press conferences, had a lot to do with what you were talking about, expunging the records and the disproportionate amount of people in communities on the South and West Side who have been the targets of the drug war. I think that a lot of that was what they were fighting for, was the social justice aspect of that, more so than
not
any
hooray,
revenue.
We can get high.
Exactly.
Because that's what it looked like.
I would well, really, Toy Hutchinson, I know Kelly Cassidy, a lot of these legislators who were working on this has had a lot of it was the idea that we are going to hopefully, you know, tilt the balance of justice in a way.
I'm glad you said that, yes, because it looked to me like they're kids.
You should talk to Senator Toy Hutchinson. She did a lot of work on this and can definitely fill you in on what they were celebrating.
I think a lot of the joy, too, though, is the tax revenues that are coming the state's way. They're hoping will come
the
state's way.
Yeah, this had better work. What about this? You won't have to identify as male or female on your driver's license now. You can be, there'll be a gender-neutral option or series of options.
I'm getting used to applications for my son, and this is coming up on a lot of those paperwork.
Why don't you put male?
And Griffin said he was fine with a non-gender specific. He's
why?
Like, don't use
it. Is he non-gender specific?
I don't know. He hasn't. He seems to be very curious about all the conversations that are having and is open to.
Does he dress like, or is he comfortable in boys' clothing?
Yes, he wears boys' clothing.
He identifies as a male.
But he was happy to support those who don't want to gender specify.
Different issue.
I know.
No, not necessarily different issues. Could be the same issue. Could be that you feel like, I mean, there are people who don't get married. There were people for a long time who wouldn't get married because gay people couldn't get married.
Really? I don't know about that.
There are people who would put non-gender specific or whatever as a show of support for people who aren't.
That's my sense.
And if Griffin's doing that, more power to him.
But that's not an answer to the question. The question isn't, do you support LGBTQ or non-gender specificity? Is how do you identify?
I do support that. Support the option to not identify.
Do you not know any people who are sort of in that middle of the spectrum somewhere? Because I do, and it's fine with me.
That's not the issue. I'd have to think about it, Eric. I'm sure I could identify people who are in that camp, and I'm on that support team. But the state is saying, should your driver's license indicate your gender?
Why? What good is the gender, especially for someone who's on that spectrum? They'll look at it and go, you know, you don't look like a male to me. I mean, I don't understand the point of even having that MF on there.
I'm assuming
so that it's jail cell to put you in. Is that
well, maybe. I mean, I do think it's a criminal identifier. Potentially, it's an identifier for the state if they're looking for somebody. I mean, that's where my head was on this. Let's not complicate the issues. To me, the state could say male or female. We're not getting into that argument. We just want to know what you are.
Well, people, they do it with race, right? You'll have a thing where you're supposed to check a box on race.
Right. Offer fluidity in race?
Well, that's a good question, though. Is there,
it's very confusing.
Is there a race question on the driver's license?
No, I don't think so.
We're all looking for our DL here.
Why is there a gender question on the driver's license?
See, I never know because my mom's Mexican and my dad was Irish. So I never know. I'm like white Hispanic.
What does yours say?
Mexican.
You're whipping yours out here?
Yeah, I don't have it.
How tall are you?
I am 5'6", allegedly 135 pounds.
Nice.
Class D driver's license. This is a duplicate, by the way, so it's a DUP on there. I have to get this renewed.
Right. Is your race on there?
Is your gender?
Where's my gender?
My gender
I don't see gender on
but
here.
This is an Alabama driver's license.
And what does yours have?
They have those?
It has height.
Brown eyes.
It has height, eyes.
Yeah, I don't see gender.
Eyes.
Hair and...
Kind of
I'm
gun.
Actually way less than in my driver's license. This is kind of cool.
I'm a donor.
What are you packing?
Right.
I'm donating all my organs.
Go Bama.
Blood type Rh factor.
Okay, how about the University of Alabama story, Scott Standis, where the trustees today voted to return, I think it was a 21?
Was it 21?
Somewhere around there. Over 20 million.
Yeah, 21.6 maybe million-dollar gift to the University of Alabama because the donor, a 70-year-old guy, after the abortion law was passed, urged the students to boycott the school. So they gave back today over $20 million.
Well, everyone's willing to put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, you got to respect
their ideals. Yeah.
It sounds like he didn't ask for it back, though, right? Or did he? I thought they just rejected it.
I have not followed the story, I've got to be honest with you.
This is a state university, right?
Yeah, but their endowment's huge. They've obviously, the football program brings in massive amounts of money.
This happened to the Fighting Sioux of North Dakota or South Dakota, one of the state universities. They were going to change their name from the Fighting Sioux because that's bad politics now. And so somebody gave them a huge multi-million-dollar grant and said, it's contingent on you keeping the name.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
They changed the name.
Gave the money back.
I think you'd have to,
This is an opposite example of this, right?
A little bit.
This is the university saying, we are going to stick with our lawmakers and their draconian laws.
One other thing. Employers won't be allowed to ask for your salary history in Illinois now, too. It's supposed to address the wage gap between men and women. There's two issues. I wondered if they were going to talk about your criminal record as well. I don't know where Illinois is on that. Can we ask if you've been arrested? But can we ask, and you, or could we ask your previous employer, what were you earning? And this bars the state employers in the state from doing that. I suppose that's a good idea. I mean, I understand somebody not wanting to overpay somebody, right? Like if you're making $30,000 and you'll take this job for $32,500, I just offered you $40,000 and I didn't have to. I mean, this is the strategy, right? This is the logic.
I mean, who does it work for to ask? It only works for the employers, right? To ask.
Yeah.
This is basically, I think, been promoted as a gender equity issue.
Yes.
Because so many women have been underpaid
yep.
for so long that you, and then, and this reinforces that the employer should be paying what the, you know, looking at an employee, what the employee's experience is and what the job pays, that, and so that what the employee made the last job is not relevant to that, unless you're looking to lowball them, I think is the
yeah.
idea
which,
behind it.
Which you make sound like that's a bad thing. If I'm an employer and I want to hire the most competent people at the lowest possible price, of course I want to do
Well, then you make a lowball offer and see if they walk
exactly.
away, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's weird to find out when you're making less than everybody else. I remember I worked at a comedy club and the feature act. So there's an opening act, feature act, and a headliner. And the guy was like, oh, that's great. They pay a feature $700. And I was like, oh, great. And I got my check and it was $500. And I found out that they paid. And there's a club in Chicago that told me that they paid women less because they weren't necessarily, this is back in the 80s and 90s. And actually, when I started in the 90s, that they didn't, you know, they had these guys who had families and they wanted to make sure that they were paid.
Really? That
yeah.
was the rationale?
Yeah,
because
actually,
I thought they were going to say, well, the guys draw better.
Yeah, I was the MC, and I found out later that they decided the baseline for the MC for 9 shows would be $250 in the 90s, and I said, well, then why were you paying me $175? Yeah, I found that out. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to learn afterwards. So, yeah.
Let's go to Trumpland real quick, guys. The president had a busy week. He toured England and France. His advocates say he rose to the occasion, at least in Normandy. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to impeach the president. She wants to jail him. He still likes the idea of tariffing goods from Mexico. What jumped out at you all this week on the President's Week?
His visit to the UK and the royal family setting up a strategy to corral him and make him behave, I thought.
The images were startling, weren't they? Like some of the shots of the family and just, right, trying to sort of...
Or Harry dodging it, Harry not wanting to be in a photo with it.
And according to the Daily Mail, they really had a strategy before he showed up that Charles was going to kind of take his hand and that, who's the older son?
William?
William was also supposed to talk golf and, like, distract him. It's like having a rambunctious five-year-old.
Shiny object with the keys.
Yeah. Well, I think the memes are some of my favorite, where they have him next to Queen Elizabeth, and she's got her crown, and he's wearing a Burger King crown and has a bag of...
I know, I thought...
Wait, he wasn't really... So I think any of us would crash the etiquette rules. I mean, wouldn't you be intimidated by... Don't you think we would all be vulnerable to stepping in front of the Queen or
yeah,
looking at her
everything.
Inappropriately?
Yeah.
I'm willing to give him a pass on some of that. I don't know, Eric, what are your thoughts?
He did well with the etiquette stuff this time. Before he walked in front of the Queen, I don't think he did this time. I thought his remarks about the mayor of London as he was coming into town were just childish.
What did you think of the coverage of the Meghan Markle comments? She's nasty. She called him nasty.
He called her nasty.
I thought it was a little unfair to Trump because I think
he
was characterizing her remarks as nasty, not her. He wasn't saying she's a nasty woman like he said about Hillary Clinton. But he didn't know that she had been nasty in making remarks about him. I thought that's what he meant.
She said he was a misogynist, and when they brought it up, he said, oh, I didn't know that she had been nasty.
Right.
And the headline then becomes, Trump calls her nasty.
And then
he said, I didn't call her nasty. And then they say, oh, yes, you did, and they play the tape. This is the tempting loop CNN falls into and ruins its reputation with every single
thing. Well, I don't know why, because I wanted to finish up here that, yes, he read a very nice speech yesterday at D-Day and then followed it up. I'm not sure time-wise which came first, but he did an interview in front of the headstones at Normandy with Fox News in which he was calling Nancy Pelosi names, saying she's nervous Nancy and crying Chuck Schumer and he was insulting Robert Mueller, who's a war hero, and it was just the most cringeworthy thing that he did. And it's like he is such an awful person, such a despicable man. And for us,
I'm not laughing, and
we're so used to that. We are
right.
so used to it that it is barely a blip.
Right.
That he does this thing that would have caused a month's worth of reverberations or more if a Barack Obama had done this overseas. And this is just going to go away as yet another incredibly vile, vulgar, narcissistic, inaccurate set of comments that he
makes.
This is what he does.
A question to the group, though. we're gonna get there in the next few seconds. Anyway, impeachment. My take now is it's too late. You're going to try to overturn an election. Beat him. Beat the guy in 2020. If you were, you know, Speaker Patty or Speaker Eric, would you impeach?
Well, isn't that what, I guess, what, did Speaker Pelosi say that she'd rather see him in prison than impeached?
Yeah.
And if you beat him, the likelihood of some of those investigations following through on their ability to do that might, I think you're right. I think it is too late, but I also think it's Congress's responsibility and obligation to follow through on this.
Yes, Speaker Zorn says impeach, and the reason is it's their job to impeach. They can't, if they're using political calculations, whether, when you're looking at what this guy has done or allegedly done, and you're saying, well, yeah, we probably should, but it's not the right thing to do politically. You're not doing your job either.
That was the same thing they did, you know, when they knew that the Russians might have been tampering with the elections. And, you know, President Obama was like, well, we don't want to look bad. We don't want to look like we're coming out in favor of Hillary. So we're just going to kind of, you know, stay quiet with this.
Do your job. And their job here at least has to be to pursue impeachment at this
point. That's the nut of it, isn't it, Eric? If you were advising the House of Democrats, say, would you say, do your job because that's your job, even if it, and I'll tell you right now, it's going to cost you the election.
Yeah.
It'll backfire, but your obligation is higher to impeach than it is to be politically smart and make sure he doesn't get reelected.
I believe that. I believe that strongly. I'm not sold on the idea that it's politically dumb to do it. I think that the hearings, what comes out about him in the hearings in the investigation might not redound to Trump's political advantage. It might, but it might not, but above all that is exactly how you just put it, John, which is like, this is your job. This is your moral duty, and it supersedes your political obligation.
Here's the last 30 seconds from each of us. Jen DeSalvo posted on Twitter the same thing that I noticed in the last episode of the HBO series Chernobyl, which is fantastic. And they're at the trial at the end of the episode. They're talking about what the truth is. And one of the scientists says to those assembled in the courtroom, because of our secrets and lies, they're practically what define us. When the truth offends, we lie and lie until we can no longer remember. It is even there, but it is still there. And then he says, every lie we tell incurs a debt to the truth. Sooner or later, that debt is paid. Okay, Scott Stanis, what's your 30 seconds?
I was fortunate enough last night to go to a fundraiser for the Chicago Help Initiative. And full disclosure, my wife volunteers for them. They offer meals and help to the homeless here. It's something you've probably never heard of, and it works in conjunction with Catholic Charities. And if you have the opportunity, go to ChicagoHelpInitiative.org and contribute, but more than contribute, volunteer, because they're always looking for people to help serve meals. They're looking for people to provide services for the homeless here in Chicago. And it's if you live here, you know this is a big problem, and they're doing the Lord's work.
So, website?
ChicagoHelpInitiative.org.
Patty Vasquez, go.
It was an honor to cover Springfield for WGN Radio. And when I was broadcasting from the basement of our state capitol, I got a text from a listener who said, my son just won a journalism award. We're going to be in Springfield tomorrow. And I messaged them back and I said, I would love to take you on a tour and I will introduce you to your legislator. And I encourage everyone who has the opportunity to come to Springfield, sit in the gallery. They watched as the recreational marijuana bill passed, and the mother didn't support it and the son did, and it was fun to watch their conversation and be present for the debates as they unfolded on the floor, the pros and cons of it, and just see how the sausage is made. I know it's not always fun, but you know, see with how things are getting done.
Bertrand, go.
It looks like it's going to be a pretty nice weekend, so my suggestion is to find some sort of outdoor festival or outdoor event. Damn, I was at a Highwood Festival over the weekend, and we could see your breath when the fog came in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be spending my weekend, Saturday night, I think, outside at Ravinia at a John Prine concert. Why not do that?
Did you get free tickets?
You don't chime in.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
No chiming.
Do you want to borrow mine?
This is a chime-free zone.
3, 2, 1, go.
In 10 things we should all demand from big tech right now, Vox.com tech writer Sigel Samuel raises alarms about algorithmic intelligence. Not exactly artificial intelligence, but the ability of computer scientists to create predictive models that use data about individuals to make decisions, not just about what ads to serve you, but about hiring, sentencing, lending, insurance risk, and other decisions that are subject to human bias. But she notes algorithms end up reflecting and in some cases unfairly enshrining human biases, and their use needs to be regulated by independent oversight panels. That's 10 things we should all demand from big tech right now at Vox.com.
I think this was a good episode.
I do too.
I think you guys were on your game. I hope you agree and share this with your friends. Thank you, Patty, Scott, Eric, Steve. We're produced by LF Garris. I'm John Williams. We'll drop another podcast on you next week.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can now also follow us on Spotify, or you can keep listening online at WGNradio.com. Plus, catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.